This is Word of Mouth on New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Coming up today, whitening wars. Dentists say allowing hygienists to operate their own practices would cause decay to the industry. Plus, awesomator Brady Carlson does some internet spelunking and lives to tell the tale. But we begin at the dawn of the MP3 era, when music lovers digitized their CD collections, racking up thousands of hours of songs on their home computers while clearing out their shelves. The thrill was soon followed by the realization that most of us owned far more music than we had time to listen to. Fast forward to today, when a website called Redigi offers an opportunity to resell your old music.
Most people only listen to a tiny fraction of their music libraries. Wouldn't it be great to turn in all that music you never listened to? With Redigi, the world's first recycled digital music marketplace, you can sell your old songs and find music you'll love for a low price.
Redigi launched a beta version of its service in October. Earlier this month, it was issued a cease and desist order from the powerful Recording Industry Association of America, or RIAA. Despite the industry claims that the site infringes on copyrights, Redigi is plowing ahead. We wanted to get a closer read of the case at a time when sites like Craigslist and Free Stuff allow people to sell or recycle their old and unused items. Luckily for us, University of New Hampshire Law School has a new Center for Intellectual Property, and Professor Ashlyn Lembry came in to explain the for sale doctrine, which is at the heart of the case that the RIAA could make against Redigi.
Copyrights are actually multiple rights. Among them are the right to copy and the right to distribute. The for sale doctrine limits the right to distribute works. And what it means is that the copyright owner has the ability to select the number of copies that are printed of any particular work and to select the price it charges. And then its claim to profits, in theory, should be done. When the buyer of that material object consumes it, usually if it's a book, they read it, and then they're ready to resell it to, say, a used bookstore, then they should be free to resell it without infringing the copyright owner's rights.
Well, it's interesting to use that example because Redigi actually bills itself like a used bookstore, that they're just sort of passing things on. Now, what does the law say particularly about resale?
Well, it's allowed for a used bookstore. That's completely legal. What the record labels contend is the problem here is that in the technology used by Redigi, a copy is made. So actually, it's not the original material object, i.e. the digital music file, the MP3, that's being transmitted or resold. They claim it's a copy. And the record labels contend that that technological process of making a copy constitutes infringement and takes it out of the for sale doctrine.
So if we go through this book analogy, I have a book that I give to a friend. They photocopy the entire book and then they resell it? I mean, is that okay?
Well, if your friend photocopies the book, that is not allowed. That violates the right to copy.
Right.
So the for sale doctrine limits the right to distribute. So, for example, let's say your friend, you give her a book for Christmas. She wants to read it, but she's short on cash for Christmas. So she decides to re-gift it to your other friend, Betty.
That rascal friend.
So when she re-gifts it to Betty, she still hasn't read it. So she decides to take it to work and photocopy it. That's not okay. That copy in the process of reselling her material, or regifting, I should say, is outside the first sale doctrine.
Redigi's defense, however, is that when you purchase a copy of a used MP3 from somebody else, mm-hmm. it destroys the copy. I mean, is there no other tack that Redigi might take to defend their case?
Sure. I think technologically it would be possible, if music were stored in a cloud, to merely change access rights on that file. I'm more of a law professor than a technophile, but it seems to me that would be one way their software could actually transfer the file without making a copy.
Redigi's website is still up. We looked at it earlier. You know, it's got Jennifer Lopez kind of plugging the new Fiat on the landing page of it. So presumably they have not ceased or desisted. What does that mean?
Well, that means Redigi is simply believes they should, and this is a technical term in the legal community, go pound sand, which is effectively what Redigi did in a nice way, in a pretty gentle way. It looks like they're just going to sit back and wait until the RIAA files suit.
How are your colleagues in the intellectual property field talking about this? Is this a, you know, it's a big case or?
Well, it's certainly very interesting. They are of the mind that it's a creative way to get around the whole Napster-Grokster problem, and it might actually work, I think, is the general thought there, or they're kind of rooting for them.
Tell me a little bit about the process going forward.
Well, when you're looking at a copyright infringement litigation, and especially one on a fairly untested issue of law, it's likely it could go up to a much higher court. So that takes time. That's expensive. Legal fees would mount. Practically, though, what would happen is I would expect the RIAA may file a motion for a preliminary injunction. Preliminary injunction is the stopping of the defendant from their business activities while the case is pending. If that were to happen to Redigi, unless they have serious financial backing, it could be a killer for them.
In addition, the RIAA is claiming that Redigi could be liable for up to $150,000 per work. Now, that could add up.
Yeah, statutory damages under the Copyright Act for willful infringements can extend up to $150,000 per work infringed. So that is at risk. However, the $150,000 is not automatic. It's a sliding scale based on many factors, including, you know, do you want to deter the defendant? How widespread is the, you know, infringement? So it's not an automatic $150,000. The Copyright Act also allows for an award of attorney's fees to the prevailing party, whether it be plaintiff or defendant. So Redigi might have an ability to recoup their investments in the end if they were to prevail.
So, Ashlyn, before we all decide to start doing a big purge of our MP3 libraries and cleaning out, any suggestions for the consumer?
I think you might want to proceed with caution in utilizing a software at any time when you download it and use it on your computer. I think that's good advice regardless. Redigi asserts that it doesn't share data on its subscribers or what files were deleted. However, there's some vulnerability there in terms of a subpoena power if the RIAA wanted to seek the identity of users of unlicensed, unlawful copies. So I think there's a risk there for consumers. And they should just, as always on the internet, proceed with caution.
Well, thank you so much for illuminating this for us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Ashlyn Lembre, Professor of Intellectual Property at the University of New Hampshire School of Law. You can find links to a number of articles on the battle brewing between the recording industry and Redigi. That's at our website, wordofmouthradio.org. Now open wide and relax. Word of Mouth is going to the dentist. Stories on the Molar Express and the right to clean your pearly whites are coming up after the break. We promise it won't hurt a bit. Okay, just a little pinch from NHPR.